Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Devastating for the Carolinas.
Right.
The American
There's
model,
still only two Carolinas, right? There's still just North
there's
and South.
There's North and South.
We
may
have West Carolina,
well, there's,
right?
Well, there's Western Carolina University.
And
there's
East
ECU.
Yeah.
ECU.
Kevin, that was the deal with
Which, by
Houston,
the way,
though,
they
right?
have they have a, not abandoned. They've closed a lot of colleges in North Carolina already.
Right.
Well,
yeah,
Elon and East well, Carolina.
So more important than that, you've got a lot of football games that have been canceled.
That, yeah. more important than life itself is the ability to put a bet down.
Right.
This is General George Washington, and you're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
And although Kevin is not here today, we will, in the news segment, talk about Hurricane Florence and what is now expected of Hurricane Florence, which will change as minutes go by. Gary Braun is here. Chris Saliza is here. Michael Kornheiser is here. Nigel produces the show, does the news, runs the board. We are at Chatter at the corner of Wisconsin Avenue Northwest and Jennifer Street Northwest. We have visitors from our partners at Cadence 13. We have visitors from other planets as well. We got a lot to talk about. I got this box in the mail.
A box of that.
It's a box of that.
Might-a-box.
And it is woodworking. Michael, can you explain what came in the box?
Yeah, so this is woodwork from Matt Arant of MDA Woodwork. And you can check out their work at MDA Woodwork on various social handles. But he writes, "Dear Mr. Tony and crew, thank you for all the many hours of entertainment that you have all given me. It's amazing how invested a person can become in the stories of people they've never met. The news and weather for a place they've never seen, and analysis of sports teams they wouldn't otherwise follow. As a Colorado native, good luck with the Rockies. I don't mind rooting for the Nats and Caps, being that the Rockies are a perpetual punchline, and it's been two decades since the Avs were winners. Although I haven't yet been to the nation's capital, I hope to someday visit when the cherry trees are blossoming in that spirit. I would like to thank you guys with the gift," it's never on time,
right,
"with a gift of some of my woodwork made from antique cherry wood. I would like to throw in my hat in the ring for official woodworker of the Tony Kornheiser Show. Boom, I think I can freely
can
give
that
to you."
So he gave us...
Yeah, a lot
gave
of
us,
stuff.
Well, actually, he gave us things that would compete with the Wine Tyrant stuff.
Yes, this is actually a
bottle
great
opener.
Companion for the Wine Tyrant corkscrew and bottle opener. There's a beautiful wine and stemware caddy, which I will be taking home.
You can do that.
And
that's
there's there are some handmade corkscrews, bottle openers, and coasters.
Really nice.
That all
stuff.
Have a lovely blue trim on the side.
They're very
gorgeous.
Very nice. Very cool. So we're very pleased with that. Thank
very
you very
nice.
Much
very
for
nice.
That. If you remember yesterday's show, you remember we led with the notion that a bar in Alexandria, Glory Days, had refused to turn on the Mystics game, Game 2, which was competing at that time with the NFL on Sunday. A family came in there. Turned out to be the family of one of the Mystics players. Is it her name, Natasha Cloud? I think I have that right.
I think right.
And so this became a story. And I said, anyone who wants to come to Chatter, if you want to see that game, we will put that game on.
Right.
And so with great anticipation, I went to Ron DiGiovanni, who is our general manager, and I said, "Did we get a big crowd for the Mystics game?" And he went, "No." I said, "Did anyone come in for the Mystics game? Did we have it on?" He goes, "Nobody asked for it."
Oh,
so it is then my task to bring you up to speed on the Mystics, because we were... Until last night at about 10:30,
yep,
we were the official bar of the Washington Mystics.
Yes.
We were.
That's right.
Now their season is over.
Self-anointed, yes.
They lost to the Seattle Storm. They got swept. They didn't even come close in this game last night. I think at one point they cut it to about 6. I said, I think,
you're
because I didn't
watch.
You're
looking at me as if I watched.
I watched.
Yeah. Okay, so,
I watched.
So they let it get out of here
they were
early.
Down, they were down 16, I think, at halftime.
Yeah. Elena Delladonna, 23, Christy Tolliver at 22. Nobody else seemed to score at all. And as predicted here yesterday, the other team's much better.
Yeah.
You know what? The other team is much
better.
They have
Breanna Stewart, who's the best player in the league.
Breanna Stewart was the MVP of the league this year and the MVP of the finals. She went to Connecticut. She won 4 straight national championships where she was the MVP 4 straight times.
I mean, it's not bad.
So she's better than everybody else.
Yes.
And they
have Sue Bird, who is
still
older, but still quite... I mean, they were significantly better.
Still a great season.
Here is the one thing I looked at in the paper, where it said a list of the past champions of the WNBA. Mm-hmm. And I don't want anybody sitting around this table to look anything up now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Western teams won 9 of the last 10 championships. And I thought, well, who's in the East in the WNBA? And I knew Washington was in the East.
Okay.
And I was pretty sure New York still had a team, the New York Liberty. And then I thought there was that Connecticut Sun team.
The Mohican
Sun.
They
play in the casino.
And that's in the East.
Yeah.
And then I didn't know anybody else, but I think that both Indiana, when they were in the league, or Detroit, when they were in the league, if they're still in the league, I don't know, that they qualified as maybe being in the East. But doesn't that strike you as odd, the disproportionate amount of Western teams winning? Because Phoenix wins a lot, and Seattle wins a lot, and Minnesota wins a lot, and they're not Eastern teams.
No.
Right?
Well, Phoenix had Taurasi and Brittany Griner years, obviously. And then Minnesota has Maya Moore. I mean, I think it's very
single-player
dependent.
Have we done enough now on the WNBA?
Too much.
Yeah, so let's move on.
Thought we were going to do an Atlanta Dream season preview.
Oh, that's another Eastern team.
I just like that name.
I hadn't thought of that.
Is there a Florida one?
Are the Flint Trumpets?
No, they're the Will Ferrell team? No, they're not in that. So let me move to something
Columbus.
Else. By the way, football tonight.
Yes.
Who's playing tonight? Is it a
Ravens Bengals?
Yeah, Ravens.
Oh, that
Bengals.
Is
the Bengals.
Awful.
Yeah, it's not a
I mean,
great
no.
Matchup.
Well, the Ravens. Please come to Chatter and watch that.
Yes, yes.
And then Saturday college football, and then Sunday pro football, and Monday pro football. Please
Ravens
come.
I heard an astonishing. I mean, they scored.
Astonishing.
Would you
stat
would you sit down
Ravens.
And watch that Cincinnati Baltimore? Honestly,
sure. I would probably
rivalry
watch some
game.
Of it.
That's,
honestly,
yes,
I'm not going to watch
dull.
The whole thing.
That's
but,
dull.
Yeah.
Those teams are dull.
Flacco, who admittedly looked very good, albeit against Buffalo last week. 3-6 career in Cincinnati with a passer rating of, I think it was 36.
Hmm. Is this game in Cincinnati?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
is Joe Flacco elite?
No.
No.
No, he's not. So the Nats last night, now I'm angry. I'm officially angry about the Nats.
Unbelievable.
Because the Nats can't lose now.
I was thinking walking in here how annoyed I am.
The Nats.
But
the
where
Nats,
is your anger directed? Players, management.
Management.
Yeah.
Management at this point. I think they gave up too soon, and I'll tell you why. They have effectively caught Philadelphia. Okay. They've caught Philadelphia. They beat Aaron Nola last night. Aaron Nola now 16-5 with a 2.42 ERA. Not quite as good as Max Scherzer's, but to be fair, head-to-head, he outpitched Max Scherzer twice in a week. So that's why I think Jacob deGrom would get my vote, you know, for Cy Young in the National League. That doesn't even matter.
I think twice in a week, though, devalues it a little bit.
Maybe. But so you would pick Scherzer?
I think I have to go with DeGrom just because I think it shakes up baseball standards, but I do think that by going against him twice, he might have just had a bad Scherzer week, bad Nats week.
Okay. Yeah, I'll give you that because Scherzer's been great for years at this point. Here's the one player I'm really angry at, and it's easy to guess. It's
Steven Strasburg. Yeah.
Here comes the Steven Strasburg tease. Here we go. Strasburg last night, 7 innings, 5 hits, 1 run, 9 Ks. That's a great outing. What
was
day was yesterday?
Zero pressure.
Was it the 12th of September?
Correct. Yes, I believe so.
In a game that didn't
stretch
matter
run.
At all?
Yes.
So Strasburg will get two more starts.
Well, you
starts.
Say it doesn't matter. I mean, they got 72 losses. If they can get to 90 wins.
Right. If they win,
the
them, if they win out.
Play. Yeah.
So Strasburg goes out and says, okay, I'm back. But you are not available for months and months and months. Harper, who's probably leaving, Soto, who everybody assumes is the rookie of the year, except that Ronald Acuna Jr. probably is the rookie of the year, despite what Boz says. And Boz is geeked for next year. He is completely all in for next year. And Ryan Zimmerman, who just had that sympathetic piece about wanting to stay. They all hit home runs. All right? They are 8 behind Atlanta. They have the Cubs today in a makeup game at 4 o'clock. And the question on the table is this. If they don't dump Adams, who's won 2 or 3 games for St. Louis, and they don't dump Murphy, are they in it? Are they 4 out? Are they 4 or 5 out and in it? Because that's all I could think of last night and this morning that they and I thought it the day they did it. Zverluga and I had a sincere disagreement. I thought they were criminally derelict in getting rid of everybody when they did.
I thought that if they were going, I don't know if this means I agree or disagree with you. I thought that if they were going to dump out and sell, they should have sold around
early.
The trading deadline. That they did so late. I mean, maybe this will come back and be beneficial. But at this point, I'm trying to explain to my kids who don't totally understand why we got rid of Matt Adams and Daniel Murphy. And say, well,
did you get anything for him?
Correct.
Did you get
and I'm
some?
Like, bag of balls.
Yeah,
like, I mean,
get?
We made cash
get?
Considerations. Like, so when we dumped out, it felt like too late. The one thing I do disagree with you is I do not think that right now, if we had Murphy and Adams,
don't think it'd be four out,
and Gio, we would be four out.
I didn't mention
I think that Strasburg, you know, I know he pitched amazingly in the postseason last year, so I don't want to say he never shows up in big games, but it is incredibly predictable that in a game in which the stakes are below zero,
he's a stats builder. Right. Again, he's a driving range player.
Right.
I think the talent wise on a day to day level, I do not think with Murphy or Adams they would have made a push.
Okay.
It's the optics of losing those players as to what it meant to the franchise and what it meant to the fan base, and even more importantly to the division. They basically said, Atlanta, we'd like you to have this year.
Yeah,
we don't even want to chase you. And I think they would have at least looked at a team that was surging. You look at what happened, though, with the bullpen guys. Maybe those guys were toxic. The bullpen's been much better with those guys being gone. And we want to focus on Stras because that's all you seem to focus on. But my boy Bryce Harper, if you look at that first inning at bat, that was just a clinical display of what he should be. And he was not that for the majority of the year when the pressure was on him. And now he is having his little Strasburg stats building moment, which is his right.
I agree with you.
Put the team on your back.
He's five.
But he's
RBIs.
Been dependable. But he's been out there. You can write him into the lineup.
He is correct. Five RBIs away from his career high now.
What has he got? About
94.
So he's going to finish with 35 and 100.
And he's going to hit 260.
So he's going to have 30.
I mean, it's up.
That's 260 is impressive.
But to that's Michael, over 300 for
to
the
Michael's
second
point, like over 320.
To Michael's point, though, how he's hitting 3-something in the second half, right? But how many of those games
meant anything?
Right, because the Nats essentially, I mean, the All-Star break came somewhat late this year, right? And then there have not been 25 games that really mattered before they sort of...
That's right. The All-Star game was more than a week late.
But I mean, the idea that he was going to have a down year, maybe an average, but he's probably going to knock it... Well, I assume he will knock in over 100 runs. He's got 33. I mean,
he'll go 35 and 100.
So he's going to have 35 and 100.
That's really good.
And you had Max Scherzer. And you had a guy who's a candidate for Rookie of the Year,
and you're
500. So they had their chance, and they blew it. I mean, all this winning is fool's gold. The dynamic, all the pressure, everything changed when they gave those dudes away. So you can't extrapolate anything that's been done since to what would have happened had those guys stayed here.
By the way, if I could pick a relief pitcher that I would like, it would be Josh Hader. Josh Hader has now struck out 9 Cubs.
He's like the new
Andrew Miller. 9 Cubs. And speaking of Andrew Miller, and I don't want to get too geeky about baseball because we will do it. It is very possible that like Chris Sale could come back for Boston and be like Andrew Miller.
Yeah.
Could go 2 or 3 innings every single game or something like that.
Be interesting.
You know, so anyway. All right, we'll get out of here and we will shift gears utterly. Well, Ann Hornaday will join us. We haven't talked to Ann in a long time, and she's at the Toronto Film Festival.
TIFF.
And we will have, because we're not here tomorrow, so Thursday is Friday for us. We will talk about a bunch of different movies. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is a 23andMe ad. 23andMe is a DNA testing service that can offer insights into your ancestry, health, wellness, and traits. The 23andMe Health and Ancestry service includes reports on how your DNA can influence your weight, sleep quality, caffeine intake, sense of taste, and whether you're likely to be lactose intolerant and more. It's easy to do. This is the part that is a little dicey. You simply spit into the tube provided in your 23andMe kit, and then you mail your saliva sample back to the lab to be analyzed.
With Meshmoo, right?
Yeah, saliva and Meshmoo. And it also wants me to talk about my experience with the product and service. I don't have
So we are
yet.
Waiting on our results to be sent back. There is a little bit of a delay, but we have this great
How was
resource.
That spit of yours? Was it good? Was it quality, high-quality spit?
Thanks. A great loogie.
Yeah.
But we've been getting great email by many of our listeners, and one of them, one of our listeners actually was able to reconnect with his birth family, which meant a lot to me, and we haven't had a chance to sort of highlight that story. So
that's cool.
These are pretty powerful stories.
I would imagine. I would imagine. Now your genetic testing...
It's more than just, are you afraid of heights? Do you lose your hair or look in the mirror?
I understand that. Genetic testing for me at my age is too scary because I could be out. You know,
right. So you don't want to know.
Scary for me.
Yeah.
The bitter taste report and sweet versus salty reports, DNA can play a role in determining your food preferences. from sweet to salty to bitter. I guess that's interesting because you would say I am determined, you know.
Predetermined.
But I don't know.
Yeah.
The deep sleep report tells you if you're more likely to be an especially deep sleeper. The sleep movement report tells you how much you're likely to move during your sleep based on DNA. You know how you can find out how much you're likely to move during your sleep? You can
ask
when
the person
you get
next
up,
to you
yeah,
if
say,
there is someone.
Where was I about 2 hours ago? Yeah. The saturated fat and weight report tells you based on your genetics how your weight might be affected by saturated fats in your diet. What? Okay. Offers tips on which foods to watch out for. If you're trying to eat less saturated fat, just go to the label and look what the saturated fat is. I mean, I think this stuff is all nice and good, but I think most people, I'm just going to take a guess here. I'm going to take a guess that most people want to find out if somewhere back in their ancestry, somebody sailed over as Vikings. You know, that's what I think you're looking for.
Or are you accidentally related to this new hottie you're courting?
Right.
Which you would
right.
want to know that.
Can I claim that Thomas Jefferson is related to me?
Right.
At somewhere down the road.
Alexander
anyway,
Hamilton.
How many
this is,
degrees of Saliza
yeah,
am I?
This section is mandatory.
Everyone wants to know that.
Order your 23andMe Health Plus Ancestry Service Kit at 23andMe.com/Tony. But, you know, don't spell out 23. Use the numbers.
Yeah, 23.
Number 23andMe.com/Tony.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Here's the email. Hi, guys. Matt Zabrowski from Brooklyn here. Here's a song from the brand new album Conundrum by the Alex Skolnick Trio. Alex Skolnick on guitar, Nathan Peck on bass, and me on drums. We've been a band for almost 20 years. We have a bunch of records. This one is available on iTunes, Spotify, etc., and on double vinyl. We made it to number 2 on the iTunes jazz charts this week. I'm really proud of this one. I know you hate jazz, Tony, but this isn't your grandpa's jazz band. We originally created arrangements of well-known metal and rock tunes that had great melodies, and we currently write original stuff that we really like to play. This one mixes country and Indian musical styles.
How about
I've
that?
Never heard of that. Country Indian music. I've never heard that. It's called Culture Shock. And of course, the email ends with Edith Saliza.
Yeah. Sure.
Which all emails do. So Anne Hornaday joins us now. She is in Toronto at the Toronto Film Festival. And Nigel last night gave me a list of about 19 movies that Anne could talk about. So I picked a few. And then I have a great one at the end that I want to talk about. But I don't believe you have seen or will see. But we'll get to that. Let us start with the 27th remake of A Star is Born, which has been made and remade and remade again. And this one, if I'm correct, has Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper. And I have to say that that's fascinating to me. It really is. I hope this movie is good. I've seen it so many times. Is it good?
It's really good.
Oh, good.
It's good. It is very good. And it's Cooper's directorial debut. He directed this, and it's his, you know, considering it's his first movie, I think he did a splendid job, and I think it's one of his best performances. Of course, he plays the washed up one, and Lady Gaga plays the ingenue, and it's like the Barbara Streisand Chris Christopherson version. It's a music story, not a Hollywood story.
Right.
But I have to say, I haven't necessarily been on the Bradley Cooper train, you know. I mean, he's fine. He's never really blown me away as an actor, but he does so many clever things in this movie, one of which, you know, I take notes while I watch, and from the get, one of my first little things I jotted down, my observations, was that he seemed to be channeling Sam Elliott, and then lo and behold, Sam Elliott shows up.
Oh,
and
really?
And it turns out he is channeling Sam Elliott, because his character is channeling Sam Elliott's character. It's a very clever choice and a very well-executed one. And Gaga, you know, look, is she the world's greatest actress yet? No. I think this is a promising debut on her part, not necessarily the most confident or assured. That happens to work for that character. So it's not distracting, and it doesn't deep-six the movie at all. But when she sings, oh, my God, it's like that voice and those pipes and that gift she has.
Yeah.
It's absolutely electrifying. And so it's just a wildly entertaining movie. It just hits all the pleasure centers. It does it does exactly what you want it to do and what it sets out to do.
A Star is Born, to me, is sort of like The Odd Couple, that any different casting will still work. I mean, you can make it work. It's okay.
Right.
I'm happy to know that Lady Gaga sings really well in the movie, and I'm happy to know you like it. You know.
Oh, she just nails it. I mean, it's absolutely hair on the back of your neck good.
Okay. There's another movie, First Man. I think it's Ryan Gosling as Neil Armstrong. And let me give you my reservations before you even tell me if you like the movie. To me, having seen The Right Stuff, and particularly having seen Apollo 13, I'm going to guess there's nothing new that this is going to be able to tell me, and it's going, and even seeing The Martian, and it's going to be somewhat repetitive. So I would be pleased if you told me, no, you're wrong, it's great.
I think in some ways, in some ways you're right, but in some way, but it did tell me something new, actually, because it was, I was really surprised by how personal it is. It's a very, very personal portrait of Neil Armstrong and what he was going through at the time when he joined the Gemini program. I knew nothing. I don't know anything about the man's personal
life.
All
I know is he went to Purdue and he's a great hero. That's all
there
I know.
There you go.
Yeah.
So then you are going to learn new things here. You really are. And I don't want to even spoil it, but you really...
Well, is it true? Are you confident that it's true?
Not yet. I mean, it was written by the same guy who wrote Spotlight, Josh Singer. He's
very
excellent.
Good movie. Yeah.
I have confidence in him. I don't think he's one to put too much spin on the ball, but absolutely I'm going to go. I mean, I just saw it yesterday, so I haven't really had time to research all the details. But I would imagine the broad details of his family and the tragedy. You know, he lost an infant, a young daughter. I don't think, I can't imagine they would have made that up.
No, of course not.
Too far. And just what was going on in his marriage. The great Claire Foy, who plays Queen Elizabeth on The Crown, plays his wife Jan. And, it really looks very squarely at the tensions, that this kind of job can exert on a marriage, and also just his personality. I mean, he's a very he's a withdrawn guy. He's very taciturn. He doesn't really give up very much. And now that can be a challenge with a character in terms of following him. And I found it kind of, it's a very good, very well-made movie, very stirring and very moving. But he's a challenging protagonist because he doesn't give you very much. And I think Ryan Gosling, his own persona does a lot of the work here. I mean, you're just interested in him, and his eyes are just gorgeous. And a lot of times a scene will be sold just by his eyes, having a light on those blue eyes. And those eyes are doing all the work, in the scene. So it's a challenge. But, I take your point. I personally loved The Right Stuff. I thought it was
great.
A masterpiece.
It's great.
I was not as enamored of Apollo 13, frankly.
That gives you the stuff, the loneliness in the capsule. That gives you all of, you know what I mean? That gives you that.
Yeah, and this also gets into the whole Buzz Aldrin, Neil Armstrong, that clash, the persona and the different temperaments. So, I think you'll enjoy this one. I really do. It's good.
Was it Buzz Aldrin who had the greatest tweet of all time a couple of months ago?
Yes.
Buzz Aldrin, who everybody was going back and forth on social media.
Happy Moon Day or something.
Where were you in 1969 when the capsule landed on the moon? And Buzz Aldrin wrote, "I was on the moon." So that's the greatest tweet of all time. That cannot be topped. I was on the moon. Do you have is there a Gary Hart documentary, The Front Runner? Is that a documentary or a movie?
It's a movie.
No, it's a movie. It's based on the book that Matt Bai wrote a couple of years ago about that campaign and about that moment when the campaign...
Donna Rice.
Went Monkey Business.
Yeah. Is it good?
I thought it was really good. It was divisive.
You're liking everything.
I saw it at a press screening, and there were people there, some colleagues from other papers, who felt that it was not doing the press any favor, that it put the press in too unsympathetic a light in terms of, their behavior during that episode. But I actually think it raises some very good questions just about transparency and the search for truth and privacy and boundaries and it really does leave you, I think, with the undeniable fact that whether the press was right or wrong in the challenge they felt to find a scandal in his life, We lost a really fine statesman. You know, we lost probably one of the smartest people who's ever run for that office.
Can I go back on this for a second?
We're okay with that. We're okay with that. But I think it faces everybody with that contradiction. Like, look, you know, this is, and I thought it was a really interesting, it gives everybody their say. I thought it was really good with Donna Rice. She emerges as a person in her own right with intelligence and, you know, a moral center and all the rest. I think it just airs all of the good arguments around that question, around that story that are worth having.
Let me go back a little bit because I'm old enough to remember that. And if I remember this correctly, the people who got there first were from the Miami Herald. And if I remembered correctly, Gary Hart made a very public statement, follow me anywhere.
Follow me around.
Follow
yeah.
me around.
Yep.
And within an hour and a half, you know, he lands on the monkey business boat with Donna Ryan. I mean, it's so... There's
okay,
self-destruction
right. I mean,
on the part of Gary Hart. This is what he asked for. It's what he asked
no,
for.
No doubt. But I'm just saying, you know, you can't deny that that opened an era in American politics that was never closed. And you know what else? Now it's like we're in a post moment where we can do all that work and nobody seems to care.
Yeah.
Look who's in the White House after what he said and did.
Yeah.
You know, after revelations, you know, by my paper that we thought, you know, might sway some people. And so it's just like,
well, that's,
okay, you know,
but
you're
that's
right.
Him.
You're right. But be, well, that
no, that's him, because the guy running for governor in senator in Alabama, he didn't win. You know, he didn't win. And so
I wouldn't even go nearly as far as to compare Roy Moore with Gary Hart, ever.
No, but what I'm saying,
in a million
no,
years, I would not do that.
I am talking
and
about
I mean,
the notion that the
well,
press, you know, that Donald Trump, things don't stick to him personally, but to other politicians, to the governor of Missouri. Who's no longer the right, Chris? The governor of Missouri had to resign.
That's right.
Like for actual run of the mill professional politicians, it does matter still. You know what I mean? And it does.
Well, okay, I'll take that point. But I do think it's worth. I do think it's worth reflecting on.
I'm excited about that.
I'd like to see the movie.
Is it?
I don't think it's a waste of time to think about these things and to you know just reflect on that.
Who plays Gary Hart?
Hugh Jackman.
Really?
Yeah. An Aussie.
Oh, man.
And honestly, of all of the different elements of that movie,
he's a good actor.
I think Hart's character is the least, I mean, he still comes across as a cipher.
Yeah.
He was so, again, he's like Neil Armstrong. I mean, he was not very forthcoming. He didn't think he needed to be. And he's still to this, you know, even after the movie's finished, you don't feel like you know that man, and that maybe he was always just too closed in ever to succeed in that business. But it's a I thought it was a really interesting kind of prismatic view of that episode, and you can come down any way you want.
I'd like
to see that. Decide that you're okay with it or not or whatever. But it really I think gives a lot of different points of view there too, and it was well done.
One other movie that seems to be on my television screen 24 hours a day. I doubt you've seen it yet. I'm not sure you will ever see it. White Boy Rick.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen it?
No, I didn't. And I did get a message from a friend who's here who said that she really liked it. That's like opening this weekend,
yes,
right?
Yes,
with Matthew McConaughey.
Who since winning an Oscar seems to have not done anything.
He's in the Lincoln commercial.
Yeah.
The McConaissance is over. I think we can say that safely.
Okay, yeah. So.
Probably.
So
but,
you haven't seen it.
No, I haven't, and I didn't really pick up it. You know, it's funny. Nobody was really, I have to say, other than that one little ping that I got, I didn't hear much about it. So that tells me, you know, it might just be, do you think you'll go?
No, I think it's got the potential to be horrific, but I'm just sort of curious about it. I'm curious.
Okay, all right.
And I had the one movie, and I don't think you saw it, Tony. I mentioned
Predator.
The Predator, yes, I saw
that. The Predator 8.
I just have a two-word review for you. Jesus wept.
Yeah, okay, it's that good.
You're going to go with shark sandwich.
Let's steal Dan Jenkins' great line. All right, thank you, Ann. Enjoy Toronto.
It's a pleasure, guys. Thanks.
Ann Hornaday, boys and girls, we will come back. We will have some news. And during the newscast, I think we will try to update you on the hurricane. But since you're here, you're getting this 3 hours after we're doing it,
I don't know that it helps
sort of
you.
Stupid. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Lowe's ad, which has become my favorite ad because
yes.
Everybody who knows me knows that I don't do anything.
You are a do-it-yourself guy.
I don't do anything around the house except ask people who are in the house to fix something in my house. So I'm not a tools guy, but I love the ad. Lowe's is my new go-to destination for Craftsman products. And that, by the way, that is true. If I wanted to buy Craftsman products, and I might, I would go to Lowe's. They have everything I need to help me tackle projects around my home, from mechanics tool sets to tool storage and more, both in-store. Stop the hammering, both in-store and online. One of the cool and different things you'll find in the Lowe's Craftsman lineup are the mechanics tool sets in gunmetal finish. What's so great about that? The gunmetal chrome finish is corrosion resistant. That means the tools are more durable and long-lasting. And the best part, if you're a stickler about cleaning your tools, it makes them easier to clean. Now, they carry a 51-piece and an 81-piece mechanics tool set in the gunmetal chrome finish. Michael, has the Wine Tyrant yet bought you one of these tool sets?
I think she's saving up for my birthday.
Okay, that's good. That's in a while, though. The set comes with a new industry-leading Craftsman 120-tooth ratchet, which offers extreme accessibility, and which I add parenthetically, no one should do without. So if one of your projects seems to be in a really tight space to get to, then you definitely need to check out the 120-tooth ratchet, which has a 3-degree arc swing. You don't know what that does? Let me tell you what it does. A 3-degree arc swing means you can loosen or tighten bolts with less movement in those hard-to-reach spots. With its slim head and 3-degree arc swing. And when I hear slim head, I think of a serpent, actually. And right. I always start to get that phrase in my mind.
Images of microcephaly.
With its slim head and 3-degree arc swing, you can get into narrow spaces with ease and quickly tighten or loosen any fastener. Lowe's and Craftsman are both deeply rooted in heritage and quality. Like their customers, these two brands have a shared passion for hands-on doing. Lowe's and Craftsman make it easy to tackle any auto, AUTO, or DIY do-it-yourself project on your list. Michael, what is the DIY currently in your house?
What does it stand for, well, you mean?
I don't have anything in my house. I'm trying to fix the fence at your house.
Right. Well,
he's going to have to set up
that would be
his,
a DIY for me.
He's going to have to set up his cherry wine caddy and stemware tonight.
Oh,
that'll
exactly.
be the big DIY project.
So shop the new home of Craftsman today at Lowe's.com/Tony. That's Lowe's.com/Tony.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is sent to us by Sean O'Neill, who writes, "Enclosed is a song by Ray Weaver called Naptown Saturday Nights, which was a Springsteen-inspired song that sounds just like it.
Yes.
Written and performed for the Annapolis Musicians Fund for Musicians in the Vein of series. You can find this song and more music by Ray on iTunes and Apple Music. It sounds great. If you like this song, you can hear this song in its entirety at the end of the show. If you like this song, you may enjoy attending our next AM/FM show in the vein of Bob Dylan on September 17th at Ramset on stage in Annapolis at 7 p.m., where Annapolis-based musicians will play one Bob Dylan cover plus one original song they write inspired by Dylan. Funds raised will help support Annapolis musicians who are unable to work due to illness or injury. In addition, we support private music lessons for underprivileged middle school children and a college scholarship from an incoming freshman majoring in music performance. We have a few tickets remaining. They can be purchased at ramsheadonstage.com. Thank you very much, Sean O'Neill, for doing that. It's a wonderful tune.
It's great. It's very
Bruce. I have that album that I sometimes play in the car, the CD, 18 songs by Bruce Springsteen, many of them very, very early songs, including one of my favorites, which is Where the Bands Are.
Ooh.
And you can tell right away that Bruce Springsteen is playing this song in his early 20s and playing it as hard as it can be played.
He would play angry.
You know, just fabulous. Michael, if people want to send original music, if it comes from Ray Weaver or anybody else, how do they do it?
Send us your original music by emailing it to jingles@tonykornheisershow.com. And before you ask, we do have golf visors available at shop.tonykornheisershow.com, divot tools, and we, as always, have the Wine Tyrant corkscrew.
Fantastic.
And I would just like to point out, it's great to send in someone else's music, but
just give us permission.
Yeah, we got to make
sure.
We got to get the permission of the artist. You can't say, "Oh, Sting, this is a great song by Sting."
Yeah.
Please
by the way,
Sun for the first time.
We're now looking
that?
Out.
I don't it like it.
Well, yeah, what is that?
It's about 8:40, close to 8:40. There is sun outside.
And you realize how many days it's been?
It's
got to
be
you've
8 days, yeah. 7 or 8 days.
Crazy.
There's sun outside.
8 crazy days.
Well, they will not be seeing. Yeah, Adam Sandler. Well done. They will not be seeing the sun for some time in the Carolinas. Hurricane Florence is
hurricane
is yes is not how you pronounce it in your country.
Yeah, perfect, yes. Nailed it.
It is downgraded to a Category 2 storm, but has expanded its size. The hurricane force winds extend 70 miles from the center of the eye, and its cloud field is four times the size of Ohio. And what people are afraid of now is it's basically going to touch the coast of Carolina and then just sit there for 24 hours without moving inland, so you have the full force of the hurricane winds without it being diminished when it hits landfall, and the rain. And they're going to have this massive surge. But they feel like if it just stalls on the coastline, this could be, as they like to say, catastrophic.
Are there any like conflicting reports that it's going to do something totally wild?
Well, there's a 10% chance it'll just be sunny in 85 in the Carolinas.
Yeah. At Strasburg, it'll be great.
Beautiful.
He'll go seven, he'll give up one earned.
They do talk about this thing where if it just hangs out on the coast and doesn't move inland, then it might sort of bounce around and then head up north towards us.
To Gary's point.
Yes.
We have no idea what these things are going.
We have no idea. And I personally, just to editorialize, not on behalf of anyone else sitting here with me, I think it's almost irresponsible of some of these news outlets to report this morning about how it's weakening.
Don't do that. It's a hurricane.
Because
it makes it like, oh, it's okay to stay.
It's very misleading, I think, for people who would choose to maybe stay. And the bottom line is if you live in one of these seaside towns, whether it's a Category 1 or a Category 4, you're not going to know the difference. The roof's blown off your house. The water's in your living room, and your life.
You know,
is
we
a
all
danger.
Hope. We all hope that it's not as bad as the worst of the predictions.
That is what we hope.
We hope.
I would be gleeful to see reporting afterwards that it underperformed. But right now, the headline should be: this monster, potentially deadly storm is coming for you.
And by the way, if it does underperform, then the next time there's a hurricane, more people will say, I'm staying.
Right.
I'm staying. It's a very dangerous game.
It is.
Very dangerous
game. It absolutely is.
Worth noting, by the way, that our president is tweeting, raising questions about the potential that the death toll from Hurricane Maria was artificially inflated.
In Puerto Rico?
Yeah, that's what
he
said.
Artificially inflated by all those people dying?
When I left the island after the storm had hit, they had anywhere from 6 to 18 deaths. As time went by, it did not go up by much. Then, a long time later, they started to report really large numbers, like 3,000. And my favorite thing about his tweet says, ... More to come, folks! Yeah.
Any correlation with that than the actual size of the crowd at the inauguration?
It was huge. Largest crowd ever. God. Everyone knows it. Fake news.
More fallout at CBS. CBS Minute, 60 Minutes Chief Jeff Fager leaving, although he's giving conflicting reasons why. He says it's not in the wake of these articles written by Ronan Farrell in The New Yorker, including accusations.
Are those about him? I thought those about Les Moonves.
No, it included accusations that Fager inappropriately touched employees.
Yeah, he would get all boozed up.
And tolerated use. Yeah, there's a particular account at a Christmas party that is detailed. Now, what Fager tweeted out or sent out was, they terminated my contract early because I sent a text message.
Yeah, and then they quoted the text message, which is threatening. It's not, you know.
He said it had nothing to do, I believe, Nigel, right? Check me on this. But I believe he said it had nothing to do with the New Yorker story.
Yes, which is hard to believe. CBS in the last year, Les Moonves, Charlie Rose, this guy. Bad morale at CBS right now is my guess.
But some openings, if you'd like to apply for work.
Hugh Jackson winning more than CBS right now.
Yes. And now, Mr. Tony, this really is the news that we need to get into. This is, you know what? Yeah, actually, we'll get to that in a second. The Toy Hall of Fame nomination.
Go ahead.
We'll get to that. Oscar De La Hoya.
This is insane. He's running for president.
May run for president. Now, it's real. That's the beauty of our nation. If Arnold Schwarzenegger can be governor, if Donald Trump can be president, then why can't a Mexican-American who won an Olympic gold medal, who's over 35 and a U.S. citizen, run for the presidency?
We can run.
Yeah. There's no reason
I mean, people always say, like, you know, Kanye West is telling you we're in president, and people are like, oh, Kanye West. And as I remind people, are you aware of the current president of the United States? His name is Donald Trump. Yeah. So, like, I do not think we should laugh off anyone at this point. Truly. I mean,
Oscar De La Hoya?
Okay. Is he of age to run for president?
Yes, he's 45. Yes, okay. He would run as a Democrat.
Okay.
Can I just read this paragraph that you will love from a CBS News story? De La Hoya has a documented beef with Mr. Trump. In 2016, he claimed that Mr. Trump cheated in golf during a 2014 match. He said Mr. Trump hit several drives that disappeared, and then claimed he found the ball in the middle of the fairway.
Yeah, here it is.
Then he said Mr. Trump hit the ball into bushes and claimed again to find it a few feet away from the hole.
Must hit a tree.
Watch the
De La Hoya said, quote, "I'm not voting for someone who cheats in golf."
Hey, okay. Look, I couldn't find my ball. It's in the hole.
Bushes. Hey, it's on the green. Oh, hey.
How about that? Tough times continue for the Baltimore Orioles, Mr. Tony. They fell to the Oakland Athletics.
They're 58 and a half out.
Yeah, 58
and a half out.
Yes, 10
nothing. So this was on the PTI show yesterday. It was an over-under. So last night was Wednesday night. So on Tuesday night, Baltimore had 9,141 people in the stands. And Wilbon went under for last night, and I went over. Went over because I thought it wouldn't rain. And then I got home to my house at 6:30, and there was like a deluge. In my house, I have all mud in the backyard now.
They announced attendance.
Anyway, they announced the attendance at 10,480. I looked at the stands.
These are pictures.
Look like anybody was there.
These are pictures Jen Babish posted during the game. Tell me if that looks like 10,000.
It doesn't look like anybody was actually there. It really doesn't.
They gave up 10 runs.
It's essentially vague. It's basically chatter yesterday morning.
They gave up 10 runs in the third inning. 15 batters came to the plate, and they were done.
I got a hit.
It's sad. That's sad.
And by the way, I know I mentioned this yesterday.
To the Toy Hall of Fame.
Well, the Athletics, by the way, just a game behind the Yankees for that home.
And make sure you're watching the Central and the West. Those are some big games today.
Let's get to the Toy Hall of Fame.
These are the finalists for this year's class of the Toy Hall of Fame, 2018 class. American Girl Dolls.
Well, those are pretty big. You know, I think those have been around for a while.
I got a Chris had a Samantha. Yeah, I did. They got a store at the mall. I'll pop in there. Yeah. See what the new inventory looks like.
Chalk is not in. Is chalk a toy?
Well, chalk is a tool.
I consider the pen I'm holding in my hand not a toy, but a pen.
This is the sand debate that we had last year.
I don't think of chalk as a toy.
Yeah, a bag of glass.
I just don't.
Chutes and Ladders. That's a fun game. That's
a game.
The Magic 8 Ball.
Oh, that's not in. The Magic 8 Ball is not in. The Magic 8 Ball.
That's first ballot.
Yeah, there have been some questions about the character. You know, in Magic 8 Ball.
I think the Magic 8 Ball has to get in. Right.
Fisher-Price Corn Popper. That's like that little mower device.
Oh, I love that.
The walker loves that.
Kids love that thing.
Makes noise.
You hold it and it walks.
I could see the look of disdain on your face.
I don't care about that.
Masters of the Universe. I know you're a big He-Man fan.
I have the power.
I think Magic 8 Ball has to get in.
Yeah. Pinball. Pinball has to be in.
Pinball Wizard.
The sled.
I mean, is skee ball in? If skee ball's in, pinball should be in.
I'm not sure.
Sled is not a toy.
Well, it's a rosebud toy. Yeah, rosebud.
Some places, I don't know.
I can see that being a toy. It's more of a toy than chalk.
Tic-tac-toe.
That's a game.
That is a game.
It's not really a...
Tic-tac-toe, I would think, would get in. I don't know about sleds. I don't know.
What's your giant devices?
I just don't think of them as toys. I think them as athletic equipment.
You're still pining for the wooden hoop, right? You want that from your...
You mean the one you hit with the stick?
Yes.
Oh, that's old.
How can that not be in?
That's a snub.
Yeah. Tickle
it's
me,
like
Elmo.
Pete Rose.
Tickle me, Elmo. It's a little too soon, I think, for Elmo to get.
We want Tickle Me Elmo to sit it out for another 5 years.
Yeah, would you go Cabbage Patch Kid?
I don't think Elmo has been retired long enough to get in. I don't think Elmo.
He's not retired at all. Elmo should qualify.
I don't think Elmo. Tic Tac Toe is not in.
Tic Tac Toe is not in.
That's hard to believe, isn't it?
It is to me.
Skee Ball not in. Actually, I'm looking now. Skee Ball is not in.
The Tudor Electric Football. Which is, I think, that one. It's like a metal plate.
They shake, right?
Just the football players shake.
That's craziest. We're not having that.
And then
because
Uno.
if you touch that the wrong way, you can get an
Uno should be in.
Uno should be.
Uno's
in.
My kids love that card game. And Uno? I want to base it on what my children like.
Let me just say, I'm looking at the list of things
Uno
that are in.
I thought Uno was a pizza.
Uno, well, it's a pizzeria.
How?
It's that card game where you got to get down to...
How are pinball and skee ball not in, but Clue is in? I mean, Clue is a classic game.
That's why it's in.
Yeah, Clue's got to be in.
I mean, the first...
What's your problem with Clue, Gary?
Monopoly has to get in on the first ballot. They're the Walter Johnson and Babe Ruth. I'm sure they're in. Yeah. I'm sure Monopoly is in.
I'm looking at the introductory class.
Monopoly was inducted in 1998.
Oh, yes.
Is that the first class?
Yes,
looks like it.
Yeah, along with Barbie,
along
Crayola,
with marbles,
crayons.
Marbles, yeah. Lego, Play-Doh.
Marbles.
Frisbee.
Marbles, you eat the marble. It's bad. It's a bad idea.
Teddy bear, that made it in the first class.
Teddy bear's okay. But did
Oh, here it comes.
Oh, yeah. Hold on.
Booty, booty, booty.
Duck and cover. Get away from the windows. Take cover.
It's actually
further instructions.
It's applicable. Is that in? That should be it.
That is not in, but that's a travesty.
Fly that thing down to South Carolina.
By the way, your inductees last year, just to remind everybody, did you say this, Gary? Clue, paper airplane, and wiffle ball?
Right.
Yes. So there you go.
That's legit. Those are wiffle legit. Ball
for sure.
Yeah. But I would have thought that the magic chalk. Eight ball had been in already. And
it's the Hall of Fame, not the Hall of Very Good.
Yeah. Chalk. That's like, to me, that's in the sand category. Yeah, it's not, a toy. Yeah. Chalk is not a toy.
Pinball, I think, has to be in.
I'm sort of surprised they're not in. But Gary says ski ball is not. I would put pinball in over ski ball.
Yes.
I would put that.
Cigarettes not on this list either.
What?
So. No,
what
but about vaping.
Matches? How about matches?
Check candy cigarettes.
Matches.
All right, let's get out of here. We will have Old Guy Radio when we return with Chuck Todd and Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is a ZipRecruiter ad. I'm just going to read this one.
Yeah, well, that's how it works.
Because this is the scripted option. This is B. No, there's two script options, A and B, but I'm taking B.
This is plan B.
You know what's not smart? Job sites that overwhelm you with tons of the wrong resumes. But you know what is smart? Smart, not dumb.
Smart.
ZipRecruiter.com/Tony. Unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't wait for candidates to find you. ZipRecruiter finds them for you. It's powerful matching technology. Scans thousands of resumes, identifies people with the right skills, education, and experience for your job, and actively invites them to apply. So you get qualified candidates fast. There's no more sorting through the wrong resumes. There's no more waiting for the right candidates to apply. It's not having that anymore. It's no wonder that ZipRecruiter is rated number one by employers in the United States, and this rating comes from hiring sites on Trustpilot, which I've never heard of in my life, with over 1,000 reviews. And I've got to get on the internet more often. I'm always afraid that if I go on the internet, I will read something written about me and I will lose my job in 45 seconds with my response.
Yes.
And right now, my listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Tony. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Tony. And it asked me to spell out Tony. And as I said the other day, it seems to me spelling ZipRecruiter would be more important, but okay.
Tony is
T-O-N-Y.
Oh, that's how you spell it.
ZipRecruiter.com/Tony. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Old Guy Radio for the day. This is Tiny Dancer by Elton John. We're doing this song in terms of critical commentary because 18 years ago today was the movie debut of Almost Famous, one of the great rock movies ever made. It's sort of the debut of Kate Hudson.
Yeah.
And I thought about this last night after Nigel told me we were going to play this song. Where is the kid who played Cameron Crowe? What is his name and what has he done? What's he done?
He's been in a few things here and there. I know off the top of my head, he was in the movie We Just Bought a Zoo.
I didn't see that one.
With Matt Damon.
No, I know. It's on TV all the time.
Yeah, that's the one. I mean, I know he's done several things, but
he is excellent in that film. It's a great...
It's a great movie.
Great movie about journalism.
He grew so much during the course of that movie.
Philip Seymour Hoffman has a good turn in that movie.
Yeah, Lester Bangs.
Yeah.
But that the other actors had to wear lifters because as Patrick Fugit was growing, because he was a kid, they all had to grow, we're going to make ourselves look like the same size.
So what is the name? It's not Sarsaparilla. What's the name of the band?
Oh, Stillwater.
Stillwater.
Because that's the title, Stillwater's Run Deep.
It's such an easy movie to like. It's just
it's terrific.
He was in Gone Girl. I'm looking at this list of movies. I don't recognize any of them.
And by the way, the scene where we play the song from, when they get back on the bus, is just one of the greatest rock and roll. I'm used to rock and roll music.
So good. And Cameron Crowe, by the way, Cameron Crowe's a really good writer. Okay, his stuff at Rolling Stone was really good. Chuck Todd joins us now. Normally, we would ask him who he's going to have on Meet the Press, but we don't care. Because Chuck Todd is 5-2. Chuck Todd, in what I thought might be the hardest week of the year, Chuck Todd killed it. He went 5-2. Right? You were great.
I wish my pocketbook were as great.
Oh, so you actually...
Let's just say I didn't, because I didn't bet. I don't like to bet the first week of the NFL with real money. So of course I went 5-2.
Well, you were very good. You ready for this week's games?
I am. By the way, Chris is right. The best single piece of journalism advice is in Almost Famous when Philip Seymour Hoffman
I know what's coming here. Go ahead,
don't
Chuck.
Don't be friends with the rock stars.
Yeah.
Don't become friends with the rock stars.
You're not their friends.
That's right. Not their friends.
Don't do it. They're not your friend. The politicians aren't your friend.
Nope.
Tony, the athletes.
The athletes are not your friends.
No.
They're
never
not
be
your
able
friends.
To write critically.
Don't ever confuse access for relationships.
Correct.
Don't do it.
Yeah, the co-hosts are not your
it's
friends.
A mistake.
we know that. They are always gunning for you.
Board operator, not your friend.
Oh, let's start with Minnesota at Green Bay. The line has already shifted. Yesterday, Jeff Ma took Minnesota +1 at Green Bay. The line for you is Minnesota -1 at Green Bay. This is all Aaron Rodgers dependent on every level. I'm going to make you pick the game. Go ahead.
Yeah, I. This is one that my heart says I'm going to go with Aaron Rodgers, but my head says go with the Vikings. Although the idea of taking the Vikings, of going against the Packers as a home dog, I bet you they've been a home dog, what, like 10 times in the last 10 years?
Not much. Not much.
Yeah.
Maybe never with Rodgers starting.
Yeah.
Right. Yes. That's probably exactly right. I'm sorry. I still don't understand. Mike Ditka's Bears would have blitzed Aaron Rodgers 7,000 times in the second half to see if he could handle the pressure.
Yes.
I think the Minnesota Vikings are going to be as stupid as the Bears were in the second half. So I'm taking the Vikings because I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to play the whole game.
Okie dokie. Kansas City is at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh looked very bad against Cleveland. Kansas City looked very good against the Chargers. They got a kick return touchdown. They got a pick six. They got Tyreek Hill. This is the kind of game that everybody says, wow, the momentum is with Kansas City. And then you take Pittsburgh because it's the smart play to be home. Who you got?
I'm betting that Pittsburgh, that this is the year Pittsburgh takes a massive step back.
I'm not
buying them. So I'm on the Mahomes bandwagon. And if you can get that many points, I think Pittsburgh might win, but they're not going to win by 5. They're going to win by a touchdown. I'll take Kansas City.
I would go the other way on that. I would think that Pitt, and you may be right. It's the notion of
just the contrarian.
When is the tipping point?
Yeah.
No, it's like with Tom Brady.
Right.
You know, when does it happen
that
it's over?
When do you become Peyton Manning?
Yeah.
I mean, when does it you lose it totally?
So I would still bet Pittsburgh this time, but I'm very interested in the game for the exact reason you're talking about. Miami, the team that you watched as a child, Miami is at the New York Jets. The Jets won, and the Jets look great with Sam Darnold. They did. Miami had a 47-hour game. I don't even know who won the game. It was never over.
They're still playing.
It was a four-hour weather delay.
It was
4 hours.
Over and over and over again. Who you got in this one? You get 3 if you take the Dolphins.
You know, by the way, as a kid, they used to make sure that the Jets were the money, that when the Jets played at Miami, that the Jets were a Monday night game.
Yes.
Do you know why they had to do that? It was the only way they could sell out.
Yeah, or else you'd be blacked out.
The only way to make sure. Right. I can't tell you how many times I had to watch the Rocky Blyer movie as a kid because the Dolphins couldn't sell out a Monday night game.
Oh, yes. Okay.
And they used to locally, it was one of the local ABC used to think, oh, yeah, we'll play a football movie.
No.
While everybody's listening to the Dolphin game on the radio. I am all in on Darnold. That dude looked great. I loved him watching him at USC. I'm all in on the Jets. Give him to me and give me the points.
Okay. All right.
You're laying 3, just to be
clear.
You're
laying 3. You're laying 3. Miami gets 3.
I think the Dolphins are they're the king of mediocrity this century. Aren't they? They're
not much.
3-8-8 every year.
They're not much. All right, Philadelphia, the defending Super Bowl champion, 1-0, haven't played in 10 or 11 days, right? Something like
that. Right, last Thursday.
Yeah, last Thursday. They go to Tampa Bay. The most surprising result all week was Tampa Bay getting 48 and beating the Saints in New Orleans. Four touchdown passes from Ryan Fitzpatrick, and he ran one in. Philadelphia is giving 3 at Tampa Bay.
I know that brain says, oh, there's no way Tampa Bay does that 2 in a row. Do you know that they're like on fire? There's something they're 6-2 against the spread in their last 8 games.
Wow.
I think it's some absurd number. I'm going with my head says Philadelphia, but the trend lines say Tampa. I'm going to pretend I'm going to go with the Harvard kid. Give me Fitzpatrick.
This is what Jeff Ma did yesterday. This is, and Jeff Ma had them the first week, which was the boldest pull, I thought, although it was a 10-point game, but they won outright. Jeff Ma came back and said he wants Tampa Bay as well.
Interesting note on that Tampa Bay, that 48-40 game, the first ever 48-40 game in the history of the NFL.
Really?
However many that thousands score. Of games have been played.
Really?
Correct.
That doesn't seem to be...
Yeah. Yeah, doesn't seem odd, does it?
No, 48.
Well, we've only had the 2-point, but we've only had the 2-point conversion for
48's a tough number.
Yeah,
and for to have both teams score 40, that doesn't happen a ton. But
all right. So here's an interesting game, and it's going to tell. I think it's going to tell us a lot. New England goes to Jacksonville. Jacksonville has a great defense. They have the very, very mouthy Jalen Ramsey, who has already been very critical, said Rob Gronkowski stinks, which is really
can't be the corner. It's just not
it's
true.
Just so
corners
stupid.
Shut him down.
But again, you know, you say to yourself, at some point, New England falls down. Is this the time New England falls down? New England is a road favorite at Jacksonville, a good team. New England -2. What do you do, Chuck?
By the way. And, you know, I know you're going to have Carville on. And
well, he can't have him later. On today. He's in California. He didn't tell us.
Oh.
But go ahead.
I learned this one time, believe it or not, Tony, listening to your show like 25 years ago. And Carville was on Picking Games one time, and he said, oh, this is one of those weeks where there seems to be everybody's a home dog. And he says, when you see that many home dogs, just bet them all blindly.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of home dogs this week. And I know that Belichick doesn't have that Matt Patricia defense anymore. And obviously he really
neither does Detroit.
Yeah. That's right. Matt Patricia is such another one of these Belichick geniuses. I tell you, I'm afraid of going against so many home dogs, but I got to take the Patriots. I don't trust Jacksonville in this situation. I just don't.
I would go the other way on this one. The New York Giants.
What's Fournette's status? Still questionable?
Well, everyone says when they see him, he looks good.
Okay.
I don't know what that means.
No, but they haven't. I don't think he's run yet, right?
Yeah, hamstring.
No, not yet. I mean, not yet. But he looks good. Yeah, he looks good.
Handsome fella.
The New York Giants, who lost at home last week, go on the road to Dallas. Dallas lost last week on the road in Carolina. Dallas couldn't score. The Giants scored, but not enough. The loser of this game is in for a painful season, I believe. I actually think this is almost, it's so stupid to say this, a critical game among two mediocre teams, but it has that feel to me. Will you take the Giants +3 or Dallas?
I'm with you. This feels like a storyline game, right? This feels like the loser becomes the lead on PTI the next day because you're like, okay, if Jason Garrett's going to get fired.
That's right.
Which tells me which is where my head is at. I mean, Dallas looked awful. The Giants look like they're just trying to figure out how to use Barkley still, but they're going to keep figuring out. The Giants look like a team that's going to get better every week. Dallas doesn't. So
you will take the 3 and take the Giants.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. And they always this is don't they own the Cowboys in Dallas?
They do. They've played well against them, especially on national TV. Yeah.
Dallas. Dak Prescott has no one to throw to.
Nothing.
He has no one to throw to. Yeah. I mean, what are you doing?
Nobody.
Cole Beasley's best they got.
Yeah,
I picked up that guy Michael Gallup in fantasy because they're like he's killing it in the preseason. Yeah. Yet more evidence that the preseason is totally meaningless.
Yes. Right. Indianapolis at Washington. Indianapolis lost at home last week, but Andrew Luck was gleeful at having played and played pretty well, taking hits and getting up. Washington looked very good last week on the road in Arizona. You get 5.5 if you take the road team.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. I'm looking forward to watching all these Redskin fans get overexcited at 2-0, and then, of course, it'll come crashing down to earth when they end up 2-2 after the first four. But I bet they win big this week, too. I think they cover the number and then some. So give me the Redskins, we'll all brace ourselves for all of you Redskin fans starting to come out of the woodwork.
Okay, this is all good. Do you want to tell us who you have on Meet the Press? Do you know yet who you have?
My lead guest is Florence.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course.
Yep.
Yeah, yes. I mean, it's hard for me not to lead with her, that's for sure.
It is. There's nothing better on television, every executive producer will tell you, than a giant blob in the middle of the ocean heading towards a coast in red and purple pulsating. That's it.
I see those shots of that, and I think to myself, how preposterous is it that we claim to know what it's going to do and where it's going to go? I mean, look at the size of that thing.
It's bigger than Michigan. It's bigger than Michigan.
But ask the Lizza. I mean, it is a gift to CNN. People just want to sit there and watch this storm track over and over again. I mean, people will watch bad weather on television.
I watch. Chuck, you'll know this, that I walked into the studio today in jeans and deck shoes because my television hits have already been pre-canceled.
No. Yeah, so it's a gift to viewers as well.
It's funny. Every election cycle, there's always there's always sort of that 6-day respite you get from a hurricane. It happens every fall, right, Chris?
Yeah.
And it is one of those things. All of a sudden, it's like, oh, okay, I can catch up on all these races.
And I believe it ends up being for
political reporters, we all sit there and say, okay, now we can catch up on all of our campaign homework.
I believe that in the last two Republican conventions, definitely in Tampa, there were either the threat of or an actual hurricane that were, obviously St. Paul was not threatened by the hurricane, but they postponed the first day.
Makes great TV.
Because I remember.
Hey, wait a minute. Remember the Tampa one though, Chris. You know why they canceled that one? It was because Donald Trump was scheduled to speak on night one, and Mitt Romney was petrified.
Yep.
And
he would say.
Romney was looking around going, oh, look, there's a tropical depression somewhere near Barbados.
Little did he know.
Suddenly Donald Trump wasn't able. By the way, Trump's still bitter about it. You could ask Trump about that. He's still bitter that he didn't get to speak.
Little did he know Clint Eastwood would steal the show.
All right, we'll see you next week. Thank you, Chuck.
Thank you, guys. Thanks,
Chuck
buddy.
Todd. And if we gave you Chuck Todd, who's a double threat, not just somebody who bets on games, but does meet the press, that would be more than enough, but we do give you more.
See the monkey, he's scritch, scritch, scratching, watching his iPad, smoking and laughing, hanging with Bud Grant, tap, tap, tapping on his purple latte.
Join in, everybody!
Going to the zoo. Reginald's got the bikes by two. Sometimes he throws his poo. And he's had too much Johnny Walker Blue.
Fantastic. God, Nigel, did you go see Reginald? Reginald had a rough start. He was 0-3.
0-3 for the monkey. Bad monkey. I actually got a text from Reginald to not meet him at the National Zoo. He said, you need to meet me at Andrews Air Force Base. I thought, well, this is a bit strange. I went down there. He had me cleared to go through, which is very difficult, as you know.
Well, he's TSA pre-approved.
He was on the runway in this Lockheed WC-130J. He's a hurricane
watcher.
Right. He was doing the pre-flight check. He's the pilot.
Fantastic.
He was about to head into Florence, but he says, all right, boys, give me a couple of minutes. I've got to do this with Nigel. So we went through this very quickly. And the first game we gave him was Miami getting 3 at the Jets. And Reginald showed me a picture of him, Johnny Ola, and Hyman Roth playing shuffleboard and taking naps. So clearly he's got big ties with Miami.
And when I wake up, I'll know if I have a partner.
Right. So he'll take the 3 and take that game. Now, the next game we gave him, he was very excited about this, was New England giving 2 at Jacksonville. He pulled out a briefcase. He showed me a bunch of legal papers. I was not aware of this, Mr. Tony. Reginald actually is the owner of 15 Waffle Houses throughout the greater Jacksonville metro area.
Well, there are 73,000, so it's not that many to own 15.
Right, but
Waffle Houses just dominate.
Speaking of Waffle Houses, quickly, I don't like to interrupt Reginald. There was a shot yesterday on CNN, and it was like some local weather forecaster, and the Chiron said, the whatever Waffle House Center. They sponsor like a meteorology center down there. Love
Waffle.
It.
That is fantastic.
It's delicious.
The last game we gave him, of course, was
Redskins
game. The Colts.
Where's he going on that?
Well, I was curious because I know he likes Redskins a lot, but he showed me some pictures in his iPad of him and Jim Irsay eating corn dogs and fried dough at a county
the
fair.
The mad tweeter.
Yes, and doing the swinging pirate ship together.
Yeah, it's
just
great.
Having a great time. Just wholesome American
fun. Well, that's wonderful. All right, so those are our picks from Chuck Todd and from Reginald. As we said, Carville not with us today because he's in California and it's very, very early. We will take a break. We will come back. We've got We've got the jingle and we've got the email. When we return, I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Well, come and listen to our segment with a talking head. A baseball buff, well, at least that's what they said. And then out of nowhere, Tony asks about his views. And the next thing you know, they're talking cows that go moo.
Are cows fun? Are cows stupid?
Well, did you know that cows have different personalities? And the higher the buff count, the better the ice cream. And even for the milk, it's the jerseys you should get. Yet don't ask which ones are the ones that he can pet.
Can you pet the cows? Did you ever ride a cow?
Remember what I said about cows' personalities? Just ask Buster's brother about color the jersey. He learned his lesson one day while out with the herd, when she treated him to a face full of manure.
She actually knocked my little brother into a manure spreader. Mala was the mean
so
one.
It turns out he's a dairy farm extraordinaire, and everyone asks, why didn't you get away from there? Well, Buster left the farm for a life in the MLB, but this show stinks, we want more farmer old me.
No, next time baseball, this time cows. So this is Kirsten Ohnstadt.
Oh,
a few weeks back,
we
lost that one because we made a mistake.
Well, no, I mistakenly erased the mailbag segment, but the song still played, but not with everyone's reaction. It was just me
just
coming
fantastic.
In and apologizing.
Just
and it's brilliant. Brilliant, Kirsten. Thank you.
Before we get to the mailbag, let me thank Ann Hornaday. Let me thank Chuck Todd for being on the show today. Let me thank our sponsors, 23andMe, Lowe's, and ZipRecruiter. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of The Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. And if you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. This email came to Nigel from Michael Pinka in Chicago. I made my maiden voyage to Chatter this afternoon. This was yesterday.
Yes, I got to
And my expectations were exceeded. Norm was awesome behind the bar and had my best celebrity encounter with Nigel. I just wanted to thank you guys for 15-plus years of entertainment. Don't mention my name on the air. Michael Pinka, Chicago, Illinois, P.S. Edith Saliza. Huh. Stephen Fett
sure,
in Tokyo. In Tokyo. Ooh. Just wanted to say that Liz Clark was phenomenal. She carefully explained the U.S. Open episode with Serena Williams, being objective rather than emotional or even sensational, then went on to discuss the nuances involved in the tightrope decisions that women must make every day in the professional world. I feel like I grew as a person. Thanks, Liz. I know Michael and I felt the same way. It was
absolutely
spectacular. Spectacular. Michael has often said that you can almost feel Liz, you know, pulling the words together in her head before she's right. She was
you
great.
Can see her writing.
Yeah, it's just great. From Jim DeClean in Wayne, Pennsylvania. I know where Wayne, Pennsylvania is. There's an old wives' tale that suggests green M&Ms are an aphrodisiac. My wife is aware of this folklore, and when sharing a bag of M&Ms, I often hand her back the green ones, which drives her crazy. Kyle in London, England. The top five Florences.
Hello, Kyle.
Five, Welsh. Four, Henderson. Mm-hmm. Three, Nightingale. Two, progressive TV spokesman. That's
Flo
from Harper
That's
College.
Right. Right.
And one, Griffith Joyner, Florence Griffith Joyner.
Oh, yeah.
Flo Joe.
Yeah.
Florence Ballard is mine. Oh, my. The Steve the Sycophant he's flooding us with things. These are so interesting. Your listeners' stories of disastrous weddings remind me of a 90-plus degree day in 1970 when I was the best man at a wedding in Jeffersonville, Indiana, just across the river from Louisville, Kentucky. The church had no air conditioning, and since the groomsmen and bridesmaids' parties had been held the night before, we were suffering the hangovers of the damned. As the ceremony started, the excess heat in the church caused all the candles to start drooping, and the bridesmaids, not missing the phallic significance, got the giggles. This was followed by a couple of groomsmen collapsing. I made my contribution when I reached over to get the wedding ring from the angelic 4-year-old ring bearer and found the ring was wired to the pillow she was holding. I was forced to rip up the pillow, and feathers were flying everywhere. The priest was so unnerved, he threw holy water with wild abandon, hitting the groom in the eye, causing a jump which made him fall off the altar. For a grand finale, the reception was held at the Knights of Columbus because the bingo windows were closed. To help one of the worst hangover sufferers, the bride's grandpa Joe, I dropped him a beer every time grandma's back was turned. The third time, he grabbed my arm and said with great emotion, "Son, I just want you to know I liked you from the minute I laid eyes on you." The bride and groom are now grandparents, and grandpa Joe is long gone, but I still treasure the compliment. From Matt in Boston, I'm a millennial living in Boston, and Wednesday's news segment provided me my very first David Aldridge moment. As a longtime resident in Clearwater, Florida, you can imagine my misplaced excitement upon hearing the news of the Fat Daddy attack. I immediately yelled, "Hey, I know that gator. The course where the attack took place is Cliff Stevens Disc Golf Course. I spent many hours tossing discs there with Subaru-loving, pot-smoking individuals. That course was my high school disc golf team's home course, and we considered the high volume of gators occupying the water hazards to be our biggest home field advantage." To answer Michael's inquiry, there is quite a secondary market for water discs. In fact, it's very common to see dreadlocked, shower-hating men dive into the ponds on the course with their own scuba gear to retrieve lost discs. It's hard to say discs. It's a hard word. A few years ago, there was a large turf war amongst these divers that ended after one of the men, simply known in the area as McGruff, was stabbed. Another day in the Sunshine State.
Underwater?
I'll be making the pilgrimage down I-95 to Chatter next week for my birthday. Can't wait to see you and the gang in action and finally get my hands on the much-hyped $12 Chatter t-shirt. No. Hype would indicate that it doesn't live up to it, that it's being oversold.
Oh, no.
The Chatter t-shirt is worth its weight in gold and still will only cost you $12.
That's it?
Yeah. Fat Daddy, that was the one-eyed gator or no?
Oh, yes.
The other gator?
Yeah, that was the gator that lost his eye, yes.
That's great. If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white.
You got to harvest your nuts right now, man.
Thanks, everybody. Thank you. We'll be right back.
some junkie guy from the dock. Me, I ain't touching that stuff. He's a Topps car reader. Sometimes he's a bleeder. Last night left him a little rough. On the city dock, sing a song. The cops said, boys, move along. The yacht club ain't any on noise. So we slipped down Eagle Alley with t-shirts out. Poured into a waterfront joint. Everything's gonna be alright. It's a nap time Saturday night. Charlie's west side, she's crazy about Telluride. Won't give me the time of night. We sit and watch Dave and John to see what they got going on. But man, we never get it right. We were feeling kind of fuzzy when we headed in our buzzes and watched the Moody's get on the girl. Hey babe, I play guitar, I'm gonna be a big star. You ought to give a four-boy world. Everything's gonna be alright. It's a nap time Saturday night. The cops out on West Street, they're all dead on their feet. They've already had a long night. From the buzzer down in Middletown's, crazy stuff been going on. And all them frat boys ever wanna do is fight it. That's Route 2 to you, 50 to 301. Look at that sexy spot from that Millersville trailer park. But I think she's down the ocean, huh? Sunrise over the academy, it was just old Billy and me. Two world-class strikeout kings. We'll do the blue-collar sack lunch all week until we punch out and see what next weekend brings. Everything's gonna be alright. It's a nap time Saturday.